We are now a surveillance society, and that has consequences. We'll talk about that next.
Since the first time I heard of Facebook, I was extremely suspicious of it. This is back when I was 19 or 20. To me, it seemed ridiculous. A website designed to put all of your personal information onto so anyone who wanted to could look at it. It took a while before I opened up my own account, and I never really felt comfortable about it. I've since deleted it many times over the years, and I've basically stopped using it at this point.
This is Understanding the Times Radio with Jen Markell. Jen meets this hour with Eric Barger from Take a Stand Ministries. Jen and Eric will discuss how the big technological giants are invading your privacy. We've been hearing more and more about how these big tech companies are gathering more and more data on unsuspecting Americans. Are we under constant surveillance? Jen and Eric bring you information today on what this may mean for understanding our times. Here now, Jen Markell.
We live in the United States of surveillance, with cameras like these increasingly positioned on street corners, and with much more invisible spying online and on the phone. Anyone who's paying attention knows that privacy could be out the window. That's what former newspaper editor Bill Kovich says.
I think the idea of privacy is gone. I think you have to adjust to the fact that somebody somewhere may be watching what you're doing. And it may not be the government. It may be General Motors. It may be General Telephone and Telegraph. It may be the drugstore on the corner.
All of this is not happening by accident. Well-funded, powerful agencies and companies are engaged in the business of keeping tabs on what we do, what we say, and what we think.
And welcome to the program. Well, that was just a little tease. We're going to be talking about those issues here today. And are you aware that corporate technology outfits are trying to become your masters? Have you ever searched for something using Google or other search engines and then immediately noticed that advertising begins to appear on our screens trying to sell you the very products or services you just searched for? These ads then continue to appear before our eyes for days, weeks, even months, employing the top commercial programmers and utilizing vast computing resources, internet entities such as Google. Well, they aggressively scour our internet searches for input to be transformed into personalized side-by-side advertising aimed specifically at us. Now, we have addressed issues concerning Mark of the Beast technology on this program. We've even spent 2 weeks recently, back in January, with Pastor Billy Crone on the danger of artificial intelligence and its intrusion into our lives. But today, we're going to take a look at what is a literal home invasion technology. And even if you're not particularly technical and you don't have a lot of technology in your world, you're still being watched by somebody. So how does that fit into an end time scenario? And even if that is a topic that doesn't interest you, the fact that eyes may be watching you and ears may be listening, that should be a concern to everyone listening. I'm going to quote Tucker Carlson here, and he says this: consider Facebook. About half the country uses it as a primary news source. Millions and millions of people understand the world through Facebook. But Facebook is not a neutral host. It has a political agenda. Earlier, Facebook altered its algorithms for what news stories its users see, and the results conclusively have been devastating for conservatives online. Breitbart, the news site, has basically lost about 30% of its traffic since that happened. Prager University is down 32%. Daily Caller is down. WorldNet Daily is way down. Joseph Farah of WorldNet Daily says this: this is war. This is about silencing dissent and alternative viewpoints by those holding hammerlock control of today's principal means of distribution and what should be the free flow of digital information. It's censorship on a scale previously unknown in human history. And here's part of the scary details. Facebook and Google control more than 73% of all U.S. digital advertising. Now, These folks might say this is nothing more than surveillance capitalism for profit, and there's nothing wrong with it. And we're going to discuss that here for however long it takes to sufficiently cover a topic that honestly is quite frankly endless. And so I am going to be drawing on a voice that is frequently a radio co-host. Today's going to be a guest. Eric Barger has written a series of articles on the home invasion, and I was so intrigued with them, I said, Eric, today you're going to be my guest. And so, Eric, welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Jan. Boy, I'm glad to be here and talk about this. And what you just said is so true. It's never ending, and it's always changing. This is a changing thing that we're going to deal with today.
Mm-hmm. Now, you write this. You say, when we choose to enter information on a Google platform of any sort, particularly when logged into a Google/Gmail account, what we key in can, in theory, be sorted, logged, stored, and used. And then you say, I add that no one should somehow feel secure just by citing the privacy statements. Google, who, according to Statista.com, now handles almost 87% of all internet searches worldwide. Marketing powerhouse Amazon, the other company mentioned often in this report, will have netted 44% of all internet commerce in the United States in 2017. So I think my question is, these are tech power brokers, Eric. They have too much power, but when push comes to shove, we have allowed them to have that kind of power.
I think there's an addiction too, mm-hmm. and we'll get into that, but there is definitely the addiction to media. You know, folks sitting in a restaurant not talking and suddenly, oh, I got to check my email for the 20th time today. Mm-hmm. And we have this addiction to the devices as well as to what happens when we're on Facebook or when we're in any of the social media stuff. And that's one of the aspects of it. As far as Amazon and Google, it's no secret that Amazon, their founder, Jeff Bezos, the richest man in the world now, and that there are several executives at Google who are listed in the top billionaires in the world. So there's big money involved.
Well, and you often say, and we all say this, we have nothing to hide. You and I, we have nothing to hide. But then let's put this in context. We're kind of in the last days, we feel we are anyway. What if our conversations turn troubling? What we're writing about turns troubling to some of these tech giants? What if, say, there's no other way in the world other than there's no other salvation other than through Jesus Christ? Or if we slam, let's say, some of the sacred cows, what if we slam Islam? What if we slam same-sex marriage? Today, if we even say something positive about Donald Trump, it can get us on some kind of a list. So in that we're being watched, everything we say is being watched. Likely every word we're typing is probably being watched by somebody. To be concerned about this is legitimate.
It really is. And it's not that somebody at Amazon is listening with headphones or Google or anywhere else. It's that the computers are set, their massive computers are set with the algorithms to be able to pick out particular words, keywords, and so on. And today, it's all about advertising. It's about money,
right.
And they want to sell products. And both Google and Amazon and others, and of course Facebook, they want to sell advertising to people. You know, they want to be able to use all of that. It all coordinates together. But eventually, let's just say, and if we read the scriptures and we take it literally,
yes,
and we take and understand the end times, things are going to change. We don't know what facilitates that change. We just know that there's going to be change. We just don't know exactly how or when. But when change takes place, then the things that we have said now in social media that have been logged and kept by Facebook, Google, and others, that could come back to bite
us
if we are still here, or our relatives and friends if they aren't in the rapture with us. And so there is all of that element, and that's really bottom line stuff, mm-hmm. and we'll probably revisit that thought more than once. I downloaded my Facebook history day before yesterday. I was astounded that they have kept every picture from my cell phone every picture from any of the cell phones I've had since I began to have cell phones that would take pictures. They have record of every person I have communicated with. They have record of every Facebook group, listen to this, that has posted any of my material. I found my facial recognition page that tells the coordinates of my facial recognition on Facebook. They are
amazing.
Keeping all of that. Now, anybody can go and download that. You can do it. I'm going to be showing in the extensive video that I'm working on right now about all this, I'm going to show people how they can go and find for themselves. We need to know this is going on. It's not that I'm not telling people necessarily go unplug and climb into a cave. In fact, that's the last thing we need to be doing. But we need to know this is happening and understand it. And you know, with this whole scandal that took place back in March with Facebook and with Cambridge Analytica from over in Great Britain, the veil has been lifted now. People are beginning to understand that their information has been kept by these companies and is being ferreted out to others for profit. And so people are waking up to this, but we just need to be aware. That's the whole key of you and I talking about this today.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell, and we're going to be talking likely for 2 weeks. We're going to be talking to Eric Barger, and because he's done an extensive study on this home invasion, privacy invasion. And you know, Eric, somebody else who's very concerned about this is Tucker Carlson. I already quoted him in my intro. I want to play a quick soundbite. I've got a couple of Tucker. He is very concerned about surveillance capitalism.
We've been telling you for months now about the growing power of the big tech companies whose brand of surveillance capitalism has come to shape our politics and culture in ways that many people don't perceive. Tonight, we want to give you a very specific example of that. It's both a look into the near future and a terrifying illustration of the control these companies seek over our daily lives. We recently reviewed several patents filed by Google. As we describe them, ask yourself if you're comfortable giving this much power to unelected technocrats you have never met. In the first patent, filed in September of 2016, Google envisions how it could send you personalized advertising based on what a camera observes in your home. In the illustration that Google submitted to the federal government, the patent office, a camera in your bedroom sees a Godfather novel on your nightstand next to your bed and uses that to steer you to watching the movie. If you think that's creepy, prepare yourself because it gets a lot creepier. In another patent application from September 2016, Google imagines how it could take control of your parenting, your relationship with your children. Google's smart home system could detect children near a liquor cabinet, for example, or in their parents' bedroom, infer that, quote, mischief is occurring, and deliver a verbal warning. In another example, Google imagines a hypothetical child called Benjamin. Google's cameras would be watching Benjamin at all times, carefully. They could see if he's playing outside or using electronics. Presumably, they'd also try to use that information to sell him things at some point, because that's the whole point of Google. The same patent also discusses how the smart home could coach families on, quote, areas of improvement. For example, if a family doesn't spend enough time together, eating together, in Google's estimation, Google might scold them and suggest that they set a goal of eating more often together. That is Google's description, not ours, by the way. We contacted Google for comment on this, and the company, and we're assuming it was a person and not a robot, replied this way, quote, we file patent applications on a variety of ideas that our employees come up with. Some of those ideas later mature into real products or services. Some don't. In other words, don't worry. We're not spying on you yet. We just have the patent for it. Of course, tech is also dangerous because it is deeply addictive. In fact, more than anything, it's deeply addictive. Now, a group of early Google and Facebook employees are teaming up to check the companies they helped create. Tristan Harris is a former Google employee, heads up this new group, the Center for Humane Technology. Jim Steyer is the founder of Common Sense Media, which advocates for children, and they join us tonight. Thank you both for coming on. So you describe these products as addictive. What do you mean by that?
Well, most people don't realize they see addiction, and they think it's happening by accident. We're addicted to lots of things. We worried about our kids in the 1970s. They were addicted to gossiping on the telephone. What this misses is that today, behind the other side of the screen when you're using it, there's 100 engineers whose entire job, not because they're evil, but their job is to figure out how do I keep you coming back to the product. So YouTube wants to autoplay the next video. Snapchat wants to put the number of days in a row in something called a streak next to every single person in your kid's contacts. They say, if you've got 30 friends, they say, here's the number of days in a row you've sent a message to each friend. And it keeps each of them hooked because the business model, so long as it's advertising, is how do I hold on to your attention? Because the entire stock price is one-to-one linked with how much attention I get.
Okay, Eric, there again, they reference the addiction factor, which clearly is the case. We've all seen the addiction to our technology. But, you know, I wanted to raise an issue here and discuss it with you just for a second, and that is, and many are willing to trade privacy for security. I can go back to the Patriot Act. It goes back to 01, 02 sometime. The consequences for not having security are too dreadful, so we're willing to trade our privacy thinking that we're getting security.
This is not about security, though. And that's the concept, I think, that some of the companies would like to have.
Right.
And we hear the political face of the CEOs out there
that's
and
right.
what they're saying. We hear a little bit of contrition going on with Facebook. After all, you know, the first week when the scandal broke, they lost $100 billion.
That's right.
Mark Zuckerberg that's himself right. lost $16 billion of his own wealth in that first week. So this shows the public outcry, and the public is incensed that this has taken place. However, if we would have read the small print when we signed up for Facebook or when we got our phone from whoever we got it from, the people that own the platforms those phones are on, that would be Apple or Google in the case of Android, that small print would have told us everything. They have right to our pictures. They have right to our text messages. They have rights to our emails. They have rights to everything. They have rights to where we've driven to, for example. In my records, I downloaded from Google because I got Facebook and Google both, and I downloaded the Google records. It shows every place I've gone with my phone. It's pretty incredible. But all of that has been kept. Now, you realize that you multiply that by several billion people, and nobody is looking at those records one-on-one unless there's a reason.
Mm-hmm.
There is you and I, of course, and I can just see the people out there thinking these guys are conspiracy nuts. No, we're not. We read the Bible, and we're following Amen. What the Scripture says, and we believe that there's a time coming when it's going to be a terrible time for anybody who's here and who has had ties to anyone who is a solid Bible-believing Christian. And I'm concerned for friends and family about making it to the rapture, but I'm concerned of how this could be used against them later on. Mm. As we've already said now twice, but this is such a concern of mine, it cannot be reiterated enough to me, Jan.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this is all not really about security. You know, we feel secure in thinking that, oh, this is private to us. I got news for you. It's available out there. And what about the hacking aspect?
Yeah.
You know, that's
but
a different story.
Neither one of us are saying that technology is bad, that we're not saying that technology is inherently evil. And I've often said publicly, with one click of the mouse, the gospel is sent around the world. Literally.
That's right.
Not
yeah.
only is a verse or a chapter of the Bible, the whole Bible can be sent to the ends of the earth with one click of a mouse. So again, it has a bright side and then it has this dark side.
And I suggest that we use it for the bright side, that Christians recognize how it can be used. You know, for a long time I've been saying, look, I don't have the time to sit on Facebook. And I realize there are a lot of people out there that it has become such a part of their social life.
Mm-hmm.
I would just ask us, are we using it for the gospel? That's the question. Are we really using it for the gospel? And we need to maybe step back. Maybe this is really good what's happened, where people have found out that all of their inner workings of their life are now being kept by these companies. Maybe it's good that we step back a little. Maybe people will want to step back and evaluate, what am I doing here? Am I addicted to this? Do I need to think differently? Am I using it for the kingdom of God? You know, the Bible doesn't say that this is that technology is evil. In fact, it only intimates that technology will increase in the end days, and I'm thinking of Daniel chapter 12. But it never tells us it's evil. It can be used for good or bad, either one. But just like artificial intelligence, it can be used for marvelous medical things and so many other things in the world, but it's not going to stay in the hands of the people who don't have nefarious ideas. There are going to be governments involved. They will get that technology and try to dominate other countries, if not the entire planet. Even Eric Schmidt of Google.
Yeah.
And Google was founded with the idea of forwarding the whole idea of artificial intelligence. We talked about that with Billy Crone. And now Eric Schmidt is saying this is maybe a bad idea because countries like Russia and China may use it as a tool to try to dominate and dominate the entire world. And so we have a marvelous technology around us, and we, every one of us, have the ability to use it. And I say we use it for the glory of God as long as we can. Jesus said, work while we still have light because darkness is coming.
Okay.
And darkness is coming on this stuff.
Now, here's where I want to go in my next segment. I want to talk a little bit about Amazon Echo. I want to talk a little bit about Google Home, because this is the ultimate in intrusion. And we'll also hear a clip that Google Home will talk tell you anything you want to know about a lot of items, people, things they have in their database. But if you ask them about the Lord Jesus Christ, well, who's that? We'll hear that when we get back. Don't go away.
On today's Understanding the Times broadcast, you're hearing the first program in a two-part series. You may consider ordering both programs on compact disc to share this valuable information with your family and friends. You may want to wait until next week's broadcast to order the entire series. The order line number, 763-559-4444. Digital copies of this broadcast can also be downloaded from our website at olivetreeviews.org. Thanks to all of you for making this broadcast one of the most listened to programs on weekend radio. We invite you to become a financial partner with us. Consider a tax-deductible donation. Please send your gifts to Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Jan Markell and Eric Barger return right after this.
Understanding the Times 2018 is scheduled for September 29th this year, and we are starting a bit earlier, 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. You need a ticket, and they're selling fast. I'll give you a toll-free number in a moment. Our speakers include Amir Sarfati, Pastor Jack Hibbs, Pastor J.D. Farag, and Pastor Billy Crone. Once again, we meet at Grace Church in Eden Prairie, Minnesota, just outside Minneapolis. Grace Church has asked us to limit our attendance to just under 5,000. So here is the ticketing number for the Brush Fire Agency. Call toll-free 1-888-338-5338. That's 1-888-338-5338, Monday through Friday. Should you not be able to purchase a ticket, we will live stream the event on our website at no cost. Act today and don't be left behind. The fellowship with like-minded remnant believers is priceless, and you will leave the event like the sons of Issachar who understood the times.
Facebook is ripping apart the social fabric of how society works. That is what I believe, but those aren't my words. Those are the words of Chamath Palihapitiya, who is Facebook's vice president for user growth. He was speaking at a business event a few weeks ago where he expressed his tremendous guilt about helping Facebook accumulate 2 billion users. It was his job to get those people to sign up, and he did it and did it well. And now he feels tremendous guilt because Facebook is that bad for society. And I totally agree with him. He talked about how Facebook is like a drug, doling out hits through hearts, likes, and thumbs up.
How big tech companies are invading your privacy, the focus of today's Understanding the Times broadcast, and the first of a two-part series. Thanks for joining us. We continue now with Jan Markell and Eric Barger.
Okay, Google, who is Jesus Christ?
Sorry, I'm not sure how to help.
Interesting. Okay, Google, who is Buddha?
According to Wikipedia, Gautama Buddha, also known as Siddhartha Gautama, Shakyamuni Buddha, or simply the Buddha, after the title of Buddha, was an ascetic and sage on whose teachings Buddhism was founded.
Okay, Google, who is David Sams?
Here's a summary from Wikipedia. David Ronald Sams is a television producer, author, speaker, emerging technologies guru, and serial entrepreneur who helped build the success of several syndicated versions of such television programs, including The Oprah Winfrey Show.
Okay, Google, who is Jesus?
Sorry, I don't know how to help with that.
Unbelievable. Let's try, okay, Google, who is Jesus Christ?
My apologies. I don't understand.
Well, there you have it.
And welcome back. Well, I think maybe that said a whole lot. That's what the technology companies, at least Google, thinks of our Lord. Not much. They don't even want to tell you who he is. but they'll tell you a lot of other things. That was the Google Home device. And talking for the next couple of programs with Eric Barger. You can learn more about Eric at ericbarger.com. And he often is in studio with me as a co-host for the next couple of weeks. He's a guest as we look at his home invasion series that he's written, which is posted at his website. Okay, Eric, let's unpack this for just a minute. Google Home. Now, a lot of our listeners, not only do they not know what Google Home is, they have no idea how, I'm going to use the word, intelligent it is. And as when we talked with Billy Crone back in January and we saw the amazing, I'm going to use the word intelligence, of artificial intelligence. Again, some of these home devices, Amazon Echo, Google Home, they almost seem to have a mind of their own. Talk to me a little bit about it, because extremely invasive, again, probably wired by godless people to think about godless things and not even want to identify who Jesus Christ is.
That's it. And, you know, there has been a defense about this now, Jan, that people have said, well, the reason that Jesus didn't come up is because he's not in the first three or four listings in Google, because they've been bought up by Christian groups. If somebody searches for Jesus or Jesus Christ, then they don't show up in the Google search immediately. So Google Home or the Amazon Alexa artificial intelligence doesn't know what to do with that. I'm not quite buying that completely and understanding this a little bit. I was an IBM computer operator years and years and years ago when I was also playing music before I went dropped it and went full-time in music. And of course, that IBM computer I operated nearly 1970s didn't have nearly the ability that my cell phone has, and it took up an entire room in an office building. But this is a little unit. These are units you can bring in your home, and they're very convenient. I get that. I understand that. And you can ask them all kinds of questions. They are like an encyclopedia that is sitting there for you to ask whatever you want. It can set your alarm in your home. It can make sure the garage door is down. Mm-hmm. It can set the lights in your home. It can set up appointments and tell you what your calendar says, and talk about the weather for the day and how your traffic on your ride to work is, because it knows your route. And so and they're not very expensive. And of course, Google and Amazon are in competition trying to sell these two units, both Amazon Echo and Google Home. And they have these female voices that speak to you and give you all the information that you're looking for, unless you ask it the wrong question. If you ask if Jeff Bezos is the Antichrist, do you know what happens with Amazon Echo? Amazon Echo shuts down. If you ask it, do you know when the end of the world is? Mm-hmm. It'll begin to answer the question then stop. Sometimes it just literally shuts the unit, shuts itself off. You ask, is someone else listening to us? It's going to shut off. Is this information going to be sent to someone else? It shuts off. Does Amazon work for the CIA, which is a very well-traveled rumor that I don't know for sure? It shuts off. Interesting. Yep, so that's the response from these things.
Okay. I want to go back. I'm not quite through with Echo here and Google Home, but I want to go back to something you said in my first segment. And you said that they were able to tell every place you had you had gone in a particular day. And I want to go back to Tucker Carlson, who talks about that. He's actually got a staff person who's done exactly that. And every step Google was able to track. And because I don't want to quite leave that yet.
Last night, in an exclusive investigation, we showed you two patents that Google has filed for. They show the company's willingness to stick a camera in your bedroom and spy on you and your children. And then, of course, use that information to sell you things. That's how surveillance capitalism works. But currently, Google doesn't have a camera in every bedroom or every home. It does have a phone in millions of people's pockets, though. And the question is, how much information is Google getting from those phones? We put a couple of our smartest producers on this, and then we send Fox News Headlines anchor Brett Larson out to investigate. Watch.
We know that Google is tracking us. We agree to it when we set up our phones. So we wanted to figure out what exactly Google is learning about us throughout the day. So here's what we're going to do. We have two identical phones. The only difference between these two phones is this one is in airplane mode. Both of the phones lack a SIM card, and they haven't been set up to access any Wi-Fi networks. So for all intents and purposes, these phones have no connection to a data network. We're going to keep them with us throughout the day. And while I travel around D.C., we're going to figure out just what Google is finding out about me.
Our first stop, Sims Convenience Store, just outside our Fox Bureau, for a quick coffee. From there, we took a walk to the Capitol and took a quick walk around the Senate office buildings, and then decided to hop in a car and head around town.
Hello. We're going to the Children's Hospital, please.
To run our test, we had to do more than walk the block, so we took a tour around our nation's capital. First, due north to the Children's National Medical Center Hospital, then west to St. Albans School and the National Cathedral. Our tour around town was a 14-mile journey that lasted more than an hour. The entire time, the phones had no access to the internet.
Oh my goodness.
Not a Wi-Fi connection and not any cellular data service. It almost seemed quaint to assume that Google wouldn't even be able to collect data on me.
Let's head back to the bureau, my friend. Ugh, that church is beautiful.
Google's business model is simple. Collect data on its users and then use that data to sell targeted ads. It's a business model called surveillance capitalism. But does that critical data collection work even when your phones aren't connected?
So we're back here at our Fox Bureau in D.C., and we've got both of our phones exactly how we left with them. The only difference, really, I snapped a couple of bad selfies at the National Cathedral. But otherwise, they have stayed in my pocket for the entire day. So let's find out what they know. This is our man-in-the-middle device. It's basically a Wi-Fi network that these phones are going to connect to once we turn their Wi-Fi on. It's going to pass data through it on the way to Google, but on the way, we're actually going to get a copy of the same data that Google's going to get. We'll be able to decrypt it and then find out where we've been throughout the day.
Within minutes, the numbers rolled in. The phone that wasn't on airplane mode registered more than 100 locations, 130 activities, and even 152 barometric readings. As soon as it hooked up to our Wi-Fi, it transmitted 300 kilobytes of data straight to Google. The phone even logged our exact locations, tracking us all around town, the Capitol, the hospital, the school, and the cathedral.
Now, you may notice what's missing here is the exact route that we took. But it got that data, too. It knows when I got out of the car.
The metadata has a time log down to the very second, tracking everything when they think that you're walking, riding, and yes, even getting out of the car.
Okay, so you're thinking, this isn't a big deal. I'll just put my phone in airplane mode. Yeah, we thought of that, too. This is the other phone that we had with us that no SIM card also remained in airplane mode the entire time. Let's see what kind of data it captured.
The phone with airplane mode activated actually logged more locations and activities than the other phone, and it also transferred hundreds of kilobytes of data to Google as soon as it was activated.
The only thing that's missing from this map is our stop at the Children's Hospital, but it still knows we were there. There it is. Exiting vehicle, 100% accuracy.
Through complicated user agreements and free software, Google gets users to sign away their privacy for nothing. They're even following you in the places that most people would expect total privacy: government buildings, a children's hospital, a private school, a church. Every move you make, every step you take, Google is watching you.
Now, in a statement to Fox News, Google told us that users who want to opt out of tracking should turn off location history. But doing that is harder than you'd think, and most of Google's apps include hidden queries that automatically sign you up for the surveillance. For now, we will continue looking into how Silicon Valley sells your privacy. But until then, just remember, when you're using a free online service, you're probably not the customer. You're actually the product.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Mark Hill. Have in studio with me Eric Barger talking about the invasion going on. Invasion of privacy. Everything we do, being watched, listened to. Eric Barger, is that true? You can turn off location history?
You can turn it off, but the problem is it going to be off on every one of your devices attached to that one Google account? I mean, you can try to turn it off. I tell you what, I went and looked at my location history in the Google profile that I downloaded, and indeed, there's nothing there. But when I tried to back out of that page, as soon as I did, I went back in, and because I had used their controls on the page, their arrows inside their page, it had turned it on as I left.
Really?
When I backed out by just clicking the X at the top of the page, and people listening who use computers know what I'm talking about, when I did that, it did not turn it back on, but I tried it two or three times to make sure that's what was going on. They've got it set up so it's going to turn itself back on because they want to track you. Location advertising is a huge business to these folks, and with not only our phones who are that are listening, but also with these in-home units, we have now purchased at a profit to them these units to put in our homes to be convenient for us, to give us answers and weather and traffic conditions and all those kind of things. And for our kids' homework, we put these in our homes, but they are constantly listening. And you say, oh, wait a second, you've got to say, okay, Google, or you've got to say, okay, Alexa, which is the Amazon voice. They're activated regardless. I mean, you start talking about something. You start talking about, where do you think we ought to go for dinner?
That's right.
And then you look at your phone, and suddenly a list of the Mexican restaurants, because you wanted Mexican, has popped up on your phone, the local restaurants. And it's not the closest ones. It's the ones who were attached to Google through advertising.
You know, Eric, there are some folks listening, and my hunch is there are some senior citizens listening who are thinking, you know, I don't use technology. They might even be saying this is one of the reasons we don't use technology. And they might be sort of a tuning out, so to speak. And we really have a caution to them that they must not do that, correct?
Oh, absolutely. Because there are friends and loved ones who are right in the middle of this.
Right.
We need to understand it for many different reasons.
What was the most astounding aspect that you uncovered during your months of research on technology and the coming surveillance society? And you've already given me a couple of examples here that are quite stunning, but give me another illustration.
I think the sheer speed of how this is advancing and changing. Every day when you begin to look at this and you begin to think, well, I've researched that or researched this, something else will come up that will then adjust what you thought you already knew. And I thought I was pretty well read on this. I've been looking at this for about probably 6 months. And that all began because I found out that Google had pictures of mine. They emailed a couple of them back to me, telling me they were keeping them for safety reasons, you know? And I thought, well, that's disconcerting. These are pictures I took on my cell phone, and they've got them, and they're sending them back to me. They want me to opt into a part of their advertising. Well, I thought I was pretty well read. I thought I knew a lot. I find out the more I read, the less I know. Because there's so much to this. And the advancements. And they really probably can pale in comparison to many of the things that are happening out there in the world of how the military is using this or how big business is using it. And we're finding out some of those things. But, you know, I think the way it's advancing was part of it. I think there's good reason to fear the advancement of some of this stuff, but it's not going to be stopped. And we're in a world where it's going to continue.
Yep.
The now deceased physicist, who I never thought I'd quote in a favorable or positive way, Stephen Hawking, even pleaded that artificial intelligence could be our undoing. Elon Musk has said the same thing. MIT is now learning how to mutate and change genes, alter genes to take out the markers inside genes that could cause disease in human cells. I mean, there's some wonderful things, but then there's other things like that. I have on my phone an app where I can say or type in English a question, and it will then say it back to me as well as put on the screen in any language I want the answer. It will be able to help me communicate with somebody that doesn't speak English. If I'm in a foreign country, I can literally say, where can I find a good restaurant? It will type it on my phone. If the person can read that or if they can hear it in their own language, then they can give me the answer and my phone will tell me what the answer is. The technology is absolutely astounding. And, you know, as you and I have talked about several times in discussing this and in preparing this program, some of this is very hard to talk about on radio because without the visuals, it's hard to imagine. But it is an astounding world we're living in, yet we have this negative of the privacy factor and how this could be used not only against us but others, and it's all it gets all convoluted together. As you know, we've talked about how your brain just kind of gets fried dealing with this.
Yeah, well, and you write as it concerns privacy concerns. You write in the series that you've written on the home invasion. You say we are led to believe that the computers we buy and place in our homes and businesses, including Google Home and Amazon Echo, are going to be working for us. Instead, however, if we have these devices nearby, We are the targets of the information acquired by Amazon and Google through these devices. Then you say, by the way, understanding that they are computers too, our so-called smartphones and tablets must be seen as mobile information gatherers for Google, Apple, and others as well. In fact, any computer in any form with a microphone and camera is capable of transmitting pictures and sounds either with or without the owner's permission and approval. That's enough to make the paranoid among us unplug and go silent, but that is not necessarily what I'm suggesting. And then, Eric, you say, again, we can rest assured that no one and no group of people at Google, Amazon, or for that matter, the NSA, are sitting with headphones scanning our searches, texts, or conversation. The surveillance of our lives is not being carried out by humans. It is all done with artificial intelligence through the use of computers that can quickly and efficiently boil down huge amounts of data by the parameters that they are programmed to search for. For now, the main objective in this for Google and Amazon is simply money. However, Eric, I think the point is that we're trying to make is because of the lateness of the hour, this in the wrong hands of someone, perhaps the kingdom of the Antichrist, it'll be far more than about money. It will be about power. It will be about censoring us. It will be about limiting what folks can do, what they can buy, what they can sell. Of course, the church is gone, but there will be people coming to faith during that time known as the tribulation. We're going to pick up on this as we wrap up program number one in our next segment, and we'll continue this next weekend because I have some more sound bites I want to play. I want to dig a little more deeply into some of the things that Eric has written about. I want to talk a little bit further about the invasion of this Amazon Echo and this Google Home, and we'll do that when I get back, and we'll continue it again next weekend. If you'd like to get a couple of CDs, encourage you to do that. Hand them out to folks who don't have access to some of this information, and you can just give my office a call to order some of those CDs. You can become a CD subscriber, and you'll get a CD of every program mailed to you a couple times a month. Back in just a minute. Don't go away.
If you've just joined us here on Understanding the Times Radio, you're listening to the first of a two-part series on corporate surveillance in America. Remember to join us next week for part two in this series. You can order the entire series when you call 763-559-4444. Did you know? Olive Tree Ministries has a new fresh website. We hope you've had a chance to review it. If not, be sure to click on to olivetreeviews.org and let us know how you like it. We are so grateful for all our prayer and financial partners for your continued support. We welcome your tax-deductible gifts when you write to Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Please stay with us for more from Jan and Eric.
Years ago, Understanding the Times Radio began on one radio station in the Minneapolis area. We now air on almost 830 stations and around the world electronically. You made that possible. People really do want the inconvenient truth. Radio costs are substantial, so think about a tax-deductible gift to Olive Tree Ministries to keep this message alive. You can give conveniently online at olivetreeviews.org or by calling us at 763-559-4444, 763-559-4444, or just drop a check to Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. This is Radio for the Remnant, but let's help the remnant grow by giving them the truth each week on Understanding the Times Radio.
In today's world, who do you trust for good insight on current events? For that matter, who do you trust for good Bible commentary? America is full of fake news and false teaching. That's why we want to offer you an alternative to both. We are Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell, and our main objective is to tell you the truth about current events as they relate to a biblical worldview. Join us each week on this station for a source you can trust.
Even though I've never had a social media account, I'm okay. You don't have to worry. It turns out I still have friends. I still know what's going on in the world. As a computer scientist, I still collaborate with people all around the world. I'm still regularly exposed serendipitously to interesting ideas, and I rarely describe myself as lacking in entertainment options. So I've been okay, but I'd go even farther. I'd go even farther and say, not only am I okay without social media, but I think I'm actually better off. I think I'm happier. I think I find more sustainability in my life, and I think I've been more successful professionally because I don't use social media.
Understanding the Times Radio continues here with today's final segment. Once again, Jan Markell.
Now, look, I'm extremely sympathetic to their point of view. We live in a dangerous time in a dangerous world. And there really are bad people out there. There are terrorists and other serious national security threats that I suspect we all want the FBI and the NSA to monitor. But those surveillance features come at a cost. The reason for that is that there's no such thing as a terrorist laptop or a drug dealer's cell phone. We all use the same communications devices. What that means is that if the drug dealer's telephone calls or the terrorist telephone calls can be intercepted, then so can the rest of ours too. And I think we really need to ask, should a billion people around the world be using devices that are wiretap friendly?
And welcome back. And we're wrapping up program number one of a two-part series on, well, invasion of privacy, invasion of technology into your world. It's 24/7. You may be thinking, I don't use technology. This doesn't affect me. Well, you would be very surprised, I promise you. I guarantee that it's affecting somebody in your life, somebody you care about, perhaps a lot of children and grandchildren, perhaps coworkers, perhaps you just can't imagine how many people this is affecting. Let me just say quickly before we move ahead, remember you need a ticket for this fall's Understanding the Times 2018 with Amir Sarfati, Pastor Jack Hibbs, J.D. Farag, and Billy Crone. That's Saturday, September 29th, 8:30 a.m., a little earlier, 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m., just outside of Minneapolis, Eden Prairie, Minnesota. Go to our website, olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org. Go to conferences. You'll find the ticketing information. There still are tickets available. They're very inexpensive. And again, we did this because of crowding, and the church, the host church says, you know what, Jan, you got to fix the crowding. And this was the only way we could do that. Again, you can sign up for my print or e-newsletter. You can become a CD subscriber. Again, follow us on Facebook, Jan Markell's Olive Tree Ministries, Twitter, Olive Tree Men. And if you write to us, would you always tell us what station you're listening to, particularly if you send a gift? We're wrapping up program number one of this incredible invasion into our private lives. And off air, Eric, we were talking a little bit again about the reference in Revelation 13 about how a man with a plan, a Mr. Fix-It, is going to come along and the world will be in chaos. And that will be after the rapture. The church gone. The world is in chaos. And he's going to have solutions. He's going to be an incredible fellow who's going to make the rough places plain. And he's going to tap into this technology. And we couldn't really even have talked about him in this context 30, 40, 50 years ago.
No, we couldn't have. And I think that can't be overstated as well. Because even in, for example, as people might have thought Hitler was the Antichrist, and certainly he was a type of Antichrist, he could not have controlled the whole world because he would not have had control of the power supply. He wouldn't have had control over the water, over food, over transportation of food. When people say that, oh, the technology doesn't affect me, oh yes, it does. Because if technology breaks down or stopped, and there's why we've talked about EMPs in the past, if technology stops, then the chains of supply to our stores and food and so on, all of that, the safety of the water, the very power we use in our homes, all of that is now directly related mm-hmm. to technology. We'd better understand some of this other stuff, especially how it's now being used to surveil people, because technology all around us is affecting us, no matter if we say it isn't.
Right. But Revelation 13 is a very, very revealing passage in Scripture, because there we've got this man with a plan. He's controlling the whole world. Of course, the church is not part, well, those who are coming to faith under him, they have a real problem because they're not going to be able to buy and sell. But when he's got control over everyone with this kind of technology, it's stunning. It's just absolutely stunning.
Yeah, it is. And when it says the whole world in those passages, that all will, those words are used very clearly in Revelation 13, verses 7 and 8. And to me, that could never have happened till now. You know, you think about it, we live in a very, very exciting day. And folks, we don't want to leave you on a huge downer where in right. depression. We don't want that. That's not what we're trying to do here. But we're trying to explain how these things are taking place, what's happening, and to be aware of those things. And also, if we're aware of it, that should spur the Christian on to do what we've been called to do. We've been left here on a mission, and we need to be doing it.
Mm-hmm. You know, what I found interesting in researching this, Eric, is that there are some who have been involved in all of this technology who actually regret it. I want to play a clip here. I believe he's an Indian fellow from India. Chamath is his first name. I'm not going to try to tackle his last name. He's a former Facebook exec, and he's kind of looking back in real serious regret about what he's been involved in.
I want to bring us back to the point that you were making about exploiting consumer behavior in a consumer internet business. You said that this is a time for soul searching in social media businesses, and you were part of building the largest one. What soul searching are you doing right now on that?
I feel tremendous guilt. I think we all knew in the back of our minds, even though we feigned this whole line of like, there probably aren't any really bad unintended consequences. I think in the back, deep, deep recesses of our minds, we kind of knew something bad could happen. But I think the way we defined it was not like this. It literally is a point now where I think we have created tools that are ripping apart the social fabric of how society works. That is truly where we are. And I would encourage all of you as the future leaders of the world to really internalize how important this is. If you feed the beast, that beast will destroy you. If you push back on it, we have a chance to control it and rein it in. And it is a point in time where people need to hard break from some of these tools and the things that you rely on. The short-term dopamine-driven feedback loops that we have created are destroying how society works. No civil discourse, no cooperation, misinformation, mistruth. And it's not an American problem. This is not about Russian ads. This is a global problem. So we're in a really bad state of affairs right now, in my opinion. It is eroding the core foundations of how people behave by and between each other. And I don't have a good solution. You know, my solution is I just don't use these tools anymore. I haven't for years. It's created huge tension with my friends, huge tensions in my social circles. If you look at, like, you know, my Facebook feed, I've posted maybe 2 times in 7 years, 3 times, 5 times. It's like, just, it's less than 10. And it's weird. I guess I kind of just innately didn't want to get programmed. And so I just tuned it out. But I didn't confront it. And now to see what's happening, it really bums me out.
And Eric, he's coming from a secular perspective. It's not like he's had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ that's changed his perspective.
That is exactly right. He's only coming from that perspective, but he's also concerned. And he makes a statement there. That's, by the way, a recording that was done at the Stanford Business School addressing business students. And he makes the statement that they could be the ones that would really be addicted to Facebook. And he says, don't kid yourself. You're the ones. You're part of the target area here. And he makes the statement he didn't want his kids to be a target like that. And they, his children, do not use social media. And he's not the only Facebook executive to make a statement that he's off of it, and so are his family, or so is his family. Mm-hmm.
How do we want to sum this up, program number one? Talking to Eric Barger for the entire hour. We're going to continue this a little bit next weekend as well, because I am honestly and sincerely concerned about how this is all being abused. We're also very concerned about how it's going to play into the scenario, the end of days, and particularly under the kingdom and the rule of the Antichrist. Eric, you've got a minute or two to sum up here, and then we'll continue this next week.
I want to kind of stay with the theme where we are right here. And it may be very uncomfortable for some of the listeners. If you are on social media an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours a day or more, I would ask you to back away just for a minute and evaluate how you're using that time. If that is mm-hmm. what we would call free time, how are we using it? And I ask in one of the Home Invasion articles, and all of that, by the way, we're putting into a booklet and other things too, just not those articles. But is it God or gossip? that we are attached to in this? Or are we saying, but I'm trying to do something good for God. I'm trying to be a witness online. Let's make sure that's really the truth. What dominates those precious fleeting moments we call free time? And I think that's a question we should ask ourselves, no matter if it's about social media or any other activity. Let's be thinking about how we're using our time. We only have X amount of time. We have a shelf life in this world, folks. Let's be using it for the glory of God. Each one of us has to come to that place of evaluation and then adjustment and change if need be. I can't make those decisions for us, but I do want to challenge you about that.
Learn a lot more at ericbarger.com. You can also find all these written on this particular topic, which we will continue and expand next week. Let me go out of the program saying whether they know it or not, technology is being used for good. It evangelizes, it educates, it informs, it can be used for inspiration. And perhaps the big tech companies have overplayed their hand. Yes, the Antichrist will seize control of all of it, but in the meantime, we can still use it to be salt and light, to delay the decay of the world. But this has been a warning. We're in a generation that is watching and listening, whether we like it or not. For the consumer, it's buyer beware. I want to thank you for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
Lord of the ages, God before time, we are a vapor, you are eternal, love everlasting, reigning on high.
Thank you for joining us for today's Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. Across America and across the World Wide Web, we continue to report current events from a biblical perspective. Every weekend, this broadcast comes to you at no cost, but it costs us thousands of dollars. As we produce and distribute this weekly media outreach, would you consider standing with us? With an ever-changing world, men and women of faith need to keep informed. They need to be aware of current events as viewed through the lens of Scripture. Week after week, Jan Markell brings you a compelling hour, pointing out the dangers in today's culture and bringing hope through faith in Jesus Christ. We're asking you to join us in this listener-supported ministry as our financial partner. Please write with your tax-deductible gifts to Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Contributions are also welcome at olivetreeviews.org or by phone when you dial 763-559-4444. Don't forget, global updates with a biblical worldview are yours around the clock at olivetreeviews.org. We look forward to hearing from you soon. We appreciate your continued prayer support for Jan and her media team. Jan Markell returns next week with another information and inspiration-packed hour designed to help you understand the times.